بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We continue inshallah the explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, the book of fasting in Bulugh al-Maram, and we have reached the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, which the compiler rahimahullah cited Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma saying, تراء الناس الهلال فأخبرت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرأيته فصام أني رأيته فصام وأمر الناس بصيامه. رواه أبو داود وصححه الحاكم وابن حبان. Is narrated from Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما that the people tried to sight the new moon, so I informed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that I had seen it, so he fasted and commanded the people to fast. This is reported by Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim, and Ibn Hibban graded it as Sahih. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, تراء الناس الهلال. The people تراء. تراء has two meanings. Meaning, they tried to sight the new moon. And each one of them, in the first meaning, they sought to seek the moon, or tried to see and sight the new moon for the month of Ramadan. The second meaning, each one of them began showing the other the crescent for the new moon. This is the meaning of tara'a in this hadith. Now the hilal refers to the crescent of Ramadan. So he said, فَأَخْبَرْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, I informed the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, أَنِّي رَأَيْتُهُ, that I saw it, or I had seen it. And this is the real physical seeing or sighting. فَصَامَ وَأَمَرَ النَّاسَ بِصِيَامِهِ. So he fasted عليه الصلاة والسلام and commanded the people to fast. And this is apparent, this is clear. From the benefits of this hadith is that the legality of seeking or trying to sight the new moon on the night of the 30th from Sha'ban, the night of the 30th. Why? Because if you think about the night of the 31st, then there is no need to seek its seeing. In that case, Sha'ban is complete as 30 days. Now, why we say the legality, which is in Arabic known as al-mashru'iyya, the mashru'iyya or legality, it is because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام approved what the companions عليه الصلاة والسلام had done in this case. So there was approval, and that's why this is considered as mashru', legal. The other thing we learn from this hadith is that anyone who sees the crescent, then he should inform. In short, should inform. But should inform whom? He should inform the one who has authority. Now, and this is a matter which is obligated, an obligated matter. Why? Because the fasting of the month of Ramadan, the timing for that is restricted. And the people of knowledge, rahimahumullah, had mentioned that it is an obligation to inform the sighting of the month of Ramadan, even if the person is asleep and it is feared that he may miss the timing, then it is obligated to inform him. And the Ramadan, or the month of Ramadan, the worship in the month of Ramadan is from the times that are restricted for a specific period, and that's why it is an obligation to make information or relay the news regarding the sighting of the month of Ramadan. Now, what about if the person who sees the crescent and he says, I fear if I go and inform, then they will check me. They will check for my reliability. They will check for my vision. Is it strong or not? And so forth. And I am not obligated. The answer is, this is from the whispering of shaitan. This is from the waswas of shaitan. What is obligated on the individual who sees the crescent is to inform to inform those who are in authority so that they relay the news to the people. From the benefits of this hadith is that the obligation to fast based upon a single sighting of an individual, of a single sighting by an individual, because the Prophet ﷺ fasted and commanded the people to fast. Why? Based on one single sighting. However, it is conditional that the person seeing or sighting the moon should be reliable regarding the news, that we know of his trustworthiness. And secondly, the second condition is to know of the that he possesses a strong vision. These two things are conditional in terms of the acceptance of the reporting. As to the trustworthiness, this is evident from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hujurat, which is chapter 49, verse 6. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Oh, who you believe, if a rebellious, evil person comes to you with the news, verify it, lest you harm people in ignorance. As to the evidence regarding the strength of the vision, then because the one who has weakness in his vision, his news is not reliable. And these matters, al-quwwa, the strength and the trustworthiness, are conditions regarding all actions, and also regarding a news. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Qasas, in the story of Musa and the two women, when one of them spoke to her father to hire Musa alayhi salam, and she said, as Allah spoke about this in Surah Al-Qasas 28 verse 26, يَا أَبَتِي اسْتَأْجِرْهُ فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنْ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. And said one of them, the two women, oh my father, hire him, verily the best of men for you to hire is the strong, the trustworthy. And also in Surah An-Naml chapter 27 verse 39, in the story of Sulaiman and the woman of Saba, the queen of Saba, وقال عفريت من الجن أنا آتيك به قبل أن تقوم من مقامك وإني عليه لقوي أمين. And Ifrit, strong from the jinn, said, I will bring it to you before you arise, or before you rise from your place, counsel. And verily I am indeed strong and trustworthy for such work. So can see now the two conditions regarding news reporting and or regarding also any information, is first the trustworthiness and second the strength. And in respect, with respect to our case, the strength here is the strength of the vision. Now if someone asks the question, is it valid to fast based on the seeing of a woman? The answer is yes. The news of the woman in this case is valid, so as the fasting can depend upon it. Why? Because the information regarding the sighting of the crescent or the hilal of Ramadan is considered from the reports regarding deen matters. And reports regarding deen matters, there is no condition of multiplicity in terms of sex, meaning a multiplicity involving males and females. It's not required. So, for example, if a woman tells you while you are about to pray Salat al-Maghrib, for example, if she tells you that the sun has set, then in this case you can take by her saying if she is trustworthy to you. And also if you hear the caller for the adhan, making the adhan for the Maghrib, for example, and he is a single person, then you can take by his saying if you believe that he is trustworthy, which means that he will not call the adhan for the Maghrib until he sees that the sun indeed had set. But what about if he relies on the calendar, timing of calendars? Well, there is some problems which may be related to this, because some of these things or some of these calendars may not have the correct timing, and there could be errors in this. So unless it is reliable and tested to be reliable in terms of that, otherwise the caller for the adhan checks the timing for the sunset and base his adhan on the actual setting of the timing during the month, setting of the sun during the time of Ramadan. Now, if we know of a caller or mu'adhin who depends upon this way, and we hear him calling for the adhan for the maghrib, we act according to his call. And there is no need for us to go and search about this man, what is his religion. As long as we know that he is trustworthy, then there is no need. Another important benefit from this hadith is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are all udul, meaning they are all trustworthy. And you should write this technical term, udul, which is plural of adl. Please write it. Meaning they are all thiqat, meaning they are all reliable and trustworthy. So their reports are accepted. What's the evidence upon which we are saying this? Because the Prophet والسلام, as you know from this hadith, took from the news of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma without asking about him. Is that clear? Is that clear? So if one says, well, Ibn Umar is known, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma is known, and his trustworthiness is clear now, and his religion is known. So we cannot make an analogy and say about a Bedouin, for example, who comes from the desert and accepts Islam on the hand of the Prophet والسلام, and then leaves. Now, we say that this is point, there is no doubt that it is a strong. There is no doubt that it is a strong point. And it is supported by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as in Surah Al-Hujurat, which we mentioned earlier, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا, which was 49, Surah Al-Hujurat, verse 6. Or you believe if a rebellious evil person comes to you with the news, verify it, lest you have or harm people in ignorance. Now, how to ward off this point, however, is to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as in this verse, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقْ. If a rebellious evil comes to you, meaning his rebellion or his evil is known, then فَتَبَيَّنُوا, then you verify. This means that the unknown from the companions is trustworthy and his reporting is accepted. This is the opinion of, or this is what is, this is the position of the people of knowledge regarding the companions, that the not knowing about the Sahabi does not harm the origin. What is the origin? The origin is adala, trustworthiness, and that the companions are trustworthy. That is because the Prophet والسلام, said in the authentic hadith, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي, the best of people are my generation. And with respect to the foundation regarding such generalities, is that it is a generality, and until there is evidence to indicate otherwise, to particularize it. Now, this is the explanation of this first hadith, and then we go to the second hadith of tonight, and this is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum. We move now, inshallah ta'ala, to the second hadith, and that is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, anna a'rabiyan ja'a lil-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqal, inni ra'aytu al-hilal, faqala atashhadu an la ilaha illallah, qala na'am, qala atashhadu anna muhammadan rasulullah, qala na'am, qala fa'adhin fi an-nasi ya bilal an yasumu ghada, rawahu al-khamsa wa sahahu ibn Khuzaymah ibn Hibban, wa rajjaha an-nasa'i irsalahu. in this hadith which is narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, I have seen the new moon of Ramadan. He asked, do you testify that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah? He replied, yes. He then asked, do you testify that Muhammad is Allah's messenger? He replied, yes. He then said, Bilal, announce to the people that they should fast tomorrow. Reported by Al-Khamsa D5, Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban credited at Sahih, and An-Nasa'i held that the stronger view is that it is Mursal, missing link after the Tabi'i, after the successor. Now, due to the explanation, the Arabi is the one who lives in the Badia, the desert, and the plural of the Arabi is Arab. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Hujurat 49:14. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. The Bedouins say, we believe, say, you believe not, but you only say, we have surrendered in Islam. So he said, إني رأيت الهلال. He said, I have seen the new moon, meaning by his own eyes. Yeah. And this is report. This is a report. Khabar. And then he said, أتشهد أن لا إله إلا الله؟ قال نعم. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you testify that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah? He said, yes. The meaning of La ilaha illallah, the meaning of La ilaha illallah, do you testify that nothing is worthy of worship except Allah? It means that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Hajj 22:62, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ. That is because Allah, He is the truth. And what they, the polytheists, invoke besides Him is batil, falsehood. And as to the claim that La ilaha illallah means there is no existing God, mawjood, except Allah, this is a great error. That there is no ilah existing except Allah, this is false. Because there are other gods worship besides Allah. This is from one angle. Also from another angle, if we say that La ilaha illallah means La ma'buda mawjood illallah, non-existing object of worship except Allah, it entails that these gods are true. As if you are saying Kullu al-aliha hiya Allah, that all the gods are Allah. And this is a corrupt meaning, without a doubt. So therefore, the true meaning is, there is no true God worthy of worship is except Allah. Now, the Bedouin, in his response, he said, yes. When he was asked, do you testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah? The Bedouin said, na'am, yes. He knew definitely what it meant. La ilaha illallah. He knew what it definitely meant. Then he said, Atashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Do you testify that Muhammad is Allah's messenger? Meaning Muhammad himself. He said, yes. He said, yes. The meaning of him being Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, is that Allah has sent him to his slaves. And so by this, the Arabi, Naam, is a Muslim. And also, this affirms now he is a companion, because he met the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam while testifying that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's messenger. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, فَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ يَا بِلَالَ أَنْ يَصُومُ غَدَى. Bilal announced to the people that they should fast tomorrow. And this indicates that the Arabi, the Bedouin, came at night. From the benefits of this hadith is that the trustworthiness of the companions, and that not knowing concerning their condition, who yani, the Bedouin is, his name and the like, does not harm the fact that they are udul, trustworthy. And the evidence is that the Prophet ﷺ did not ask about the trustworthiness of this Bedouin. Second, acceptance of the testimony of the Bedouin, because the Prophet ﷺ accepted his testimony. As to rejecting the testimony of the Bedouin, because the Bedouins, as Allah said in Surah in قوله تعالى الأعراب أشد كفرا ونفاقا وأجدر أن لا يعلم حدود ما أنزل الله. As to rejecting the Bedouins' testimony, relying upon the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah 9:97, الأعراب أشد كفرا ونفاقا وأجدر أن لا يعلم حدود ما أنزل الله على رسوله والله عليم حكيم. The Bedouins are the worst in disbelief and hypocrisy, and more likely to be in ignorance of the limits, Allah's commandments and His legal laws, which Allah has revealed to His Messenger, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Relying on this, this is an error. It's wrong, because it is not about the Bedouin or non-Bedouin. The matter revolves about, or revolves around, or centered or focused on al-adala, trustworthiness. And this is an attribute or a quality which could be in a Bedouin or non-Bedouin. From the benefits, if we are not sure about a situation of the individual who is informing regarding the sighting of the crescent, then we test him, because the Prophet ﷺ tested this Bedouin, whether he was a Muslim or non-Muslim. Now, do we test him as to how he sighted the crescent? The answer is no. If he says, I saw the crescent, and he is a trustworthy Muslim and reliable, and his sight vision is strong, then there is no need to test and question. Some people may go to the extreme and say, how did you see the crescent? Was it big or thin? Was it to the right, to the left? Was there any cloud around it? Was there a star or so? I think if this person is faced with these questions, he may be confused and will not attest the acceptable or requested attestation. As long as he says, I had seen it, then that is sufficient. Now, the next benefit is that the reporting takes the meaning of testimony. Because the hadith of Ibn Umar, he said, أخبرت النبي, I informed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this Arabi said, رأيت الهلال, I have seen the crescent. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم considered it as a shahada, testimony. This matter, however, there is difference of opinion regarding the issue of, is the report a testimony or not? Some of the scholars, rahimahumullah, differentiate between the two, and they say that the reporting is not the shahada, is not the testimony. But they say that since the crescent of Ramadan's news is from the news regarding the deen, we accept the news regarding it, even though it does not come in the form of testimony. Meaning, there is no need to see or to say to the one who saw the crescent, do you testify that you saw the crescent? In matters other than that, they say it's inevitable to testify. Meaning other than the sighting of the crescent of the month of Ramadan. The correct opinion, however, is that the testimony and the news or the reporting are synonymous. There is no difference. And that's why when it was said to Imam Ahmad rahimahullah that such and such person says or relates that the 10 are in paradise, meaning the 10 who receive the glad tidings in paradise, but I do not testify. He said, Imam Ahmad, إِذَا أَخْبَرَ فَقَدْ شَهِدْ. If he informed, then he had indeed testified. And he spoke the truth, rahimahullah. So therefore, the testimony is reporting in reality. It is reporting as to what the person heard, or saw, or smelled, or touched, and the like. So, the reporting and the testimony are synonymous according to the correct opinion. The next benefit is the answer by yes. The answer by yes is acceptable, and it affirms the meaning of the question. The meaning of the question. Why? Because the Arabi, the Bedouin, regarding the question by the Prophet ﷺ, he said yes. He didn't say, yes, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. Neither did he say, nor did he say, yes, I testify that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So yes was sufficient, you understand? The Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah? He said, yes. He said, yes. So this yes is sufficient. This yes is sufficient. It affirms the meaning of the question. So therefore, if it is said to an individual, if it is said to an individual, to a person, did you divorce your wife? Did you divorce your wife? And he says, yes. Then the divorce is actual. Because the meaning is, نعم طلقتها. Yes, I divorced her. Is that clear? Is that clear? Because it affirms the meaning of the question. It affirms the meaning of the question. Now, if the guardian of a woman tells the prospective husband, زوجتك ابنتي, I marry my daughter to you. So, if this person is asked, do you accept? And he says yes, then the marriage contract commences. Why? Because yes, na'am, comprises the meaning of what is being asked about. However, if it is said, أَلَسْتَ طَلَّقْتَ امْرَأَتَكَ, isn't it that you divorced your wife? Listen to this. Isn't it that you divorced your wife? And he says yes. And he answers by yes. The scholars say in this case, she is not divorced. Why? They said because na'am here affirms what is negated. And what is negated is divorce. Meaning, I did not divorce her. Is that clear? Okay, repeat. If someone is asked, أَلَسْتَ طَلَّقْتَ امْرَأَتَكَ, isn't it that you divorced your wife? And he answers by yes. They said, in this case, she does not become divorced. Why? Because the yes here is affirming the negation, and the negation is divorce. Isn't it that you divorced? Meaning, I did not divorce her. Yeah, Jama. Wait now. Yeah, it is meaning, yes, I did not divorce her. Exactly. You see? He is affirming the negation. You see that? He is affirming the negation. Now, we will come to Bala. Now, however, they differentiated. They said if the one who answers is a layman, then there is no difference between na'am and bala. There is no difference between yes and surely and certainty. And certainly. You see that? If he is a layman, a common person, he does not differentiate between the meaning of yes and the meaning of bala. You see that? They said in this case, His answer by yes, it takes the same meaning as bala. Bala meaning surely, certainly. And this is really true, because the common people, they don't differentiate between bala and na'am in answering the negation upon which is questioned. You see that? They don't differentiate. But in the Arabic language also, take this benefit, in the Arabic language also, there is mentioning of bala to mean yes. There is, even in the Arabic language. I will give you the poem. I will give you the poem, okay? It is like this. أَلَيْسَ اللَّيْلُ يَجْمَعُ أُمَّ عَمْرٍ وَإِيَّانَ فَذَاكَ لَنَا تَدَانِي. Isn't it that the night brings together Umm Amr and us, so that is for us closeness? Na'am. You see, he began, isn't it? And then he said, Na'am. وَتَرَى الْهِلَالَ كَمَا أَرَاهُ. And she sees the crescent as I see it. وَيَعْلُوهَا النَّهَارُ كَمَا عَلَانِي. And the daylight covers her as it covers me. You see that? This came in one of the Arab poems. In this case, it is an answer. Yes, it is Alaysa here. The answer of Alaysa, isn't it, came in Na'am. Yeah, Na'am meaning it unites us. The night unites us. He began asking, isn't it the night unite or bring together Umm Amr and us? You see, he answered by Na'am. He answered by Na'am, it brings us together. Now, okay, this is regarding this linguistic aspect. The next benefit, that the declaration of the month should take place, because the Prophet ﷺ commanded Bilal to call and announce that people should fast the next day, and that this declaration must come in the most strongest possible way. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ did not say to the people, let one of you inform the other, etc. Rather, he commanded Bilal to call. So this indicated that it is a must to seek the strongest possible means, and the strongest possible means in our times are the broadcast stations, radio stations and television stations. And in the past, people used to announce the sighting of Al-Hilal by using firearms, rifles, or guns in some places. So when the news arrive, they begin shooting the rifles or shooting their guns, and they will go to a high place and the highest place in the town, and each one of them will carry a rifle, and then he will shoot one or two times, and then the people, when they hear this, they go to their roofs, and with each one of them his rifle, and they shoot, and then the kids would come, and then they use fireworks, and then fill the air with their cracks and so forth. But the thing is that the kids, they don't stick to one night, but the first night and second night and third night, they have their way. So when we it was in the past, in more than one country, people would know that this is the month of Ramadan. And if this happens and people hear these guns according to this way, then is it binding on people to fast? The answer is yes, even by this way. And there occurred between Shaykh Abdurrahman bin Saadi rahimahullah and some of the scholars in his times a difference of opinion regarding this matter. Some of them said we should not fast based upon these guns and their sounds. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Saadi rather said, no, we should fast. And he wrote a response, a lengthy response, which our Sheikh Rahimahullah came across and brought evidences and analogy which prove the obligation to fast or to break the fast upon hearing these rifles. And I saw, he said, our Shaykh Rahimahullah, I saw in the margin or in the explanation by Ibn Abidin Rahimahullah something similar to that. But nowadays, alhamdulillah, sufficient is in the broadcasting stations which announce the news. We will stop here, inshallah ta'ala. أسأل الله عز وجل القبول وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.